another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com.
It's time to cool it out, baby.
Twin Cities Tank! I'm Pete. Over there's Brent. How are you, Brent?
Stop talking like that.
All right. That sounds fine.
Are you talking like a ghoul because it was Halloween?
I don't know. Is this what a ghoul sounds like? I can't really.
I don't know. We don't do characters often.
No, we don't. How was your week, Brent?
Good. I don't know.
Okay. So, we have Brian Miller here today. That's the extent of our banter. Brian Miller.
That was the shortest banter ever.
Yeah. That's the extent of our planned banter.
That was pre-banter.
I don't fucking care.
Right. Brian Miller, local comedian.
No, local.
I don't know why I always local. You live here.
I live here.
But you expand.
It sounds derogatory, doesn't it?
Brian, local. It does.
It's always like a caveat.
Brian's comedy is confined to the 612 area code. Outside of those parameters, he's not funny at all.
Doesn't translate whatsoever.
Right. But who's gonna get that shit?
It's all references to Somali drivers in my South Minneapolis neighborhood.
Just on
my whole act.
Yep. Between 94 exits. That's funny shit right
Have
there.
Have you guys ever been to Franklin before? On the 2 bus?
Oh, my God.
So, Brian, you also write for the City Pages?
Yeah.
What else do you do?
I do comedy in the City Pages, and I am the movie critic for a newspaper in Illinois.
Holy shit.
Brian,
kind of you watch movies here and then just write for the paper in Illinois?
Yeah, you know all movies.
Is it written in Illinois? Their language?
Yeah, it makes sense outside.
Illinoisian?
The 612.
Oh, okay.
You're not a local movie critic then?
No, I'm not a local movie critic. Exactly.
You could just get your comedy to the level that your movie critiquing is at.
Yeah.
It'd be nice not to be local.
Yeah, well.
Sure.
Wouldn't it be? Fuck this show.
So how was your guys' Halloween? This is November 3rd today. Halloween just passed.
I gotta pay rent this week. Would you?
Yeah, pay your rent, goddamn loser. What'd you do on Halloween, Brent?
I sat on the same couch that I'm sitting on right now, and I played Xbox, and I drank whiskey.
Were you dressed up?
I was dressed up as a big fat guy playing Xbox, drinking whiskey.
So you were wearing clothes, though?
Mildly. I think I was wearing gym shorts.
You were wearing a nightie?
But I can't do it anymore, because it seems like it would
be Halloween?
Like I would be good at it, because it just involves drinking and acting like an asshole, which I just can't do it. Like when Pete and I went out for breakfast on Sunday, because we're best boyfriends, and there was people still kind of in their costumes, and I was like just being like, fuck you. Like, I just felt myself being like so spiteful, like,
Brent,
fucking, why?
You're turning into such a cynic.
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
but I don't know. What did you do, Brian? Did you dress up? Did you give out candy? Did you fucking jack off? What happened to you? What's going on with you?
I did. You know, I was just trying to make up a story of some kind because I just sat at home with my wife and I watched the remake of The Blob.
See?
Oh.
Now that's a
when
whole,
did the remake of The Blob come out?
1988. It was pretty fantastic.
Did you write a review for it for Illinois?
I did not write a review for it.
So they're due for another one here pretty soon then?
If it's as good as the last remake,
God
I'm ready.
Damn.
Kevin Dillon. Shawnee Smith.
Johnny Chase.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Also played John Densmore in the Doors movie. I don't shit about movies. Want me to jump in on this movie thing with you?
There you go.
Actually, all of my shit is basically confined to
Kevin
the
Dillon.
Doors movie.
And just Kevin Dillon.
Entourage. And Kevin. Yeah. Just mostly Kevin Dillon-related movies.
Anybody who's been on Entourage and has done a movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Queen Latifah.
For Halloween, I got a costume together and I went out. And I think the idea of it was a lot funnier in my brain than what it actually ended up being.
Before you tell what your costume was,
Pete,
need to understand that when you do things like this, it's not normal. It's not.
No, it's fine.
It's behavior that, like, because you say things like, hey, I don't think people got it as much as I. Like, they're not going to get. Like, no one's going to get what you.
No,
think.
I don't.
Your brain is a little, like, a little flip through Rolodex thing of just fucking madness. And you stop on something and you go, yeah, let's do that. And everybody else goes, why is that man. Oh, fuck it. But yeah, tell them what you're
doing. Well, sure. I guess I do things a lot of times because I think they're funny. And I don't necessarily care that other people think it's funny. My cousin thought it was funny. But anyways,
I think it's fucking hilarious. But
what I was a guy who was obsessed with pants. And
How did you convey that?
Well, I went to the thrift store and I bought about 17 different pairs of pants. And I wore on my bottom half four different pairs of pants, and they were all kind of layered, so you could see that I was wearing four pairs of pants. And then I took a large pair of pants and I cut a hole in the crotch and wore them upside down for a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then I constructed a backpack made of pants that were stuffed with pants and had pants flying out of them. I attached pants to my arms and up my sleeves and wore pants on my head. And then my girlfriend wrote the word pants on my face.
See, now this was like if you came over coming to my house for a party or like going out to somewhere where you were in, you know, at least familiar company, people would be like, oh, there's Pete covered in pants.
Right.
He's the best. But where did you go?
I ended up going to a friend of a friend's house where it was all girls who work in hair salons and then gay guys. So everybody's costume was like pristine and there was like elaborate and everybody looked clean. And I literally, I looked like a homeless person. This not like a guy dressed like a homeless person. I actually looked like a homeless person.
But this isn't to imply that gay guys or Aveda chicks don't have sense of humor. But
well, sure, but none of these ones did.
Yeah,
like I don't think Aveda chicks have any sense of humor whatsoever.
They have any sense of
gay guys, maybe, but not Aveda chicks. Well, and probably not gay guys who hang out with Aveda chicks. Just by they're like a dark star of good times. Like have you ever watched them? I've seen them walking back from like a pretentious lunch back to the Aveda Institute, and they always look like the fucking villain team from the Mighty Ducks. Coming back. In their black outfits. I hate all of them.
They're capable going back in time and stealing laughs that have already happened.
Big time. If Aveda chick was in the front row of my audience, I would be in a blind panic the whole time.
Right, yeah. I mean, and these are gay dudes that are wearing like just a vest with no shirt.
No pants?
Oh, okay, they had pants.
Because you were there. You could have helped that.
Yeah, no, that was the joke I had. There was a guy wearing like these little pants. I was like, hey, you need some pants? And, yeah, he just kept walking.
I think if I was gay, Halloween would be fucking awesome.
Oh, sure.
If you were gay, every day would be awesome.
Fucking right.
Well, if I was gay, every day would be awesome for you guys.
That's not true, because you wouldn't be able to fuck me.
Oh, well.
I got to tell you, I think I would be a way bigger hit with gay dudes than you. Well, no, you're kind of the bear type.
No, well,
but I'm
right in between, like...
That's my demographic. Well, gay guys and, like, late middle-aged women.
So you're a power bottom, or would you be more of a...
You know, I would be like the surprising top. I would be like the top who brings a little more game than you thought he was going to. Mm. That'd be kind of
I can see it in you. You look like you kind of got that, like, I'm going
to
fucking
like a little dog who's willing to bite somebody, you know?
Sure. It's not...
I either need to, like, gain, like, 50 pounds or lose, like, 30, because...
You're not quite bear level. That's
true. That's what I'm saying. Like, if I get really fat, then guys, because right now I'm just kind of gross.
Like, you're like a bear who's bad at catching salmon. You're just like an emaciated bear.
I adolescent bear. Like in the awkward stage of being a bear.
I buy my salmon online because I'm a big fat shit. No, like if whenever I hang out, like I espouse love for gay people all the time.
Absolutely.
Constantly. That's like my absolute biggest. Fucking, like, that's the only thing I would even vote on that I gave a fuck about. Like, not everything else is just fucking whatever side of the fence you fall on, whatever. But, like, I spend so much time, like, badgering for, like, you know, all these fucking... And then every time I meet a gay guy, they fucking hate me. I cannot get a foot in the door there. I'm like my girlfriend has... tons and tons of gay friends. Tons of gay friends. And it takes them like five or six, because I'm awful at meeting people.
Sure.
Because I'm like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, I just farted. Blood came out. I got to go.
You should open with a hand job. I find that breaks the ice very quickly.
For anybody. Sure. But then like,
it's the new handshake.
It's the new handshake.
In the gay community.
Then it just leads to smashing them together.
You just have a little dick shake. Plop it around once and that's your greeting.
God damn, it's like a little doorbell.
Sure. Okay, I feel like we switched over to Halloween, but we still haven't learned much about Brian Miller. Mm. So you grew up in Kentucky, right?
I was born in Paducah, Kentucky.
You're fucking kidding me.
No.
Isn't that just like the go-to hillbilly town?
It's where I was born.
Like when everyone's like, yeah, I was down in, God knows, Paducah.
I know, I've heard it. People reference it. Yeah, like if you're going to pick an obscure, awful place... I think it just because it sounds funny.
Yeah, wasn't
Paducah? They call it the Dookie there. Something you live in the Dookie. Oh, it's not ironic. Not ironic.
Wasn't that used to be called Bumfuck? And then they
Bumfuck. It was
call the hospital. That joke just fucking died.
But yeah, so yeah, people say you'll actually hear people say things like, "Why would you want to go outside the Dookie? What is there outside Dookie? Nothing."
Wow.
Wow.
That sounds like a threat.
Is that where you started comedy then? Or
no, no. I lived there. I was born there. I spent my time in mostly various towns in southern Illinois. A series of divorces. House hopped a lot.
Did you cause the divorces? Or were you
They
them?
Said I didn't, but let's face it. I mean,
were you basically the dad in the divorce?
No, no.
You've gotten 8 divorces?
I haven't gotten one of those yet.
Oh, okay. How many of your parents have cited you specifically for their divorce as the reason?
Like I said, never vocally, but I mean, all. I think anytime
never
parents get divorced,
face.
It's almost always the kids.
Absolutely.
If the kids weren't there, they'd probably be able to work that shit out.
Remember when we used to love each other and we used to be able to hang out?
Yeah, like we would just like go to a movie on a Wednesday night because we could.
Don't get me wrong, I love going to bed at 9, but you know, maybe if we didn't have this fucking kid, we could hang out together.
Exactly.
Here's some papers on the table I want you to sign.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You just convinced me to get a divorce, and I don't even have kids. My wife's going to be furious.
Yeah. God, I won't say anything.
So when did you actually start comedy?
Pretty recently. I started comedy... I moved here 2 years ago. 2 years and maybe a month. 2 years and 2 months.
It would be 2008 if you're listening to this in future years.
I started then. I'd done it a few times elsewhere and liked it, but didn't really have an opportunity to... I lived in Chicago for... I lived in Chicago for 4 years, and two of which I could get into bars, and so I did try comedy twice, and both times was physically threatened. I just had bad luck. A homeless guy threatened to beat me with a stick because when I was on the L train
just
coming back from
racy
a bad neighborhood.
Homeless guy jokes.
Say you tell that old.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't in the gig. I was on my. I was even spindlier than I am now, if you can believe it. And I was on the light the train coming back at like 1 a.m. from the show, and it had been terrible. You know, it was my second time on stage, and this very ranty, terrifying homeless man, and then this couple and me. And so my default strategy back then was kind of like a version of playing possum to avoid crazy people on the train. I would just pretend to be really high and out of it, so that like I just like, oh, I just can't communicate with you, you know, like I thought that was a genius strategy. Sure. And then but I'm very focused, I'm very aware of all the things going on, and the homeless guy turns to the couple, and I think they were pissed because they were like, man, I thought he was gonna do something with that guy. And he turns to the couple and he says, you see that guy over there, he must smoke weed. And I didn't break his illusion.
Sure.
You know, and he says, when people drink, that's all right, but when I see people smoking weed, I want to beat him with a stick. And he just stood up and just started freaking out. And right about the time the train, we stopped at a stop and the doors opened, and I just bolted out the door of not my stop and just ran. And that ended my comedy career temporarily for like 4 years.
Well, I know that generally, if you know, if you're in public and you see somebody that needs to be physically restrained, they're probably high, not drunk. I mean, always.
Absolutely.
Almost 9 times out of 10. You go to a bar, someone's getting rowdy and fucking punching girls.
100%.
Always high. Always high.
I didn't understand why... A guy would be that a crazy homeless guy. Yeah. He was crazy. I mean, why he would be so vehemently against the stoners? I didn't understand. I didn't try that strategy anymore.
Does the crazy beget the homelessness, or is it vice versa?
I'd have to guess. Yes.
God, what a mess.
Yeah.
So that kind of
that derailed
you away from.
Yeah, I was on stage twice in Chicago. It was so bad. It was so bad. I mean, I was so bad. Like, I don't know. I wanted to be like Chris Rock or something.
Sure.
So I think.
There's one fundamental.
Flaw
in that.
If we were on TV, you would know that it was. I'm sure my
mind is not black.
Gives it away. Yeah. And so I think if you saw me the first time, you just saw this like what looked like about a 17-year-old white Kentucky boy getting up and just being like, I can't stand being on a train with crazy people. You know, like, I'm pretty sure that's what it was like. And these people would just stare at me like, what in the hell? I remember I got up and I just blurted and ran and screamed and ran around. And I got off stage and the MC, a guy named Steve O'Harvey, he's his outro for me. He just goes, man, that guy really wanted to get on stage. That's all he said.
Okay, go rewind a little bit. What was the impetus to start doing? What did you grow up with that made you think that?
It's two things. I just always loved stand up. My parents, the divorced parents, they both like stand up a lot.
So
they used
the
to
only thing they saw eye to eye on.
Apparently so. So whichever parent I was with on the weekends, I would watch.
Was it like Mort Saul and?
No, it was like 80s. It was like 80s comedy boom. I'm almost 30, so this was like you know, Jerry Seinfeld.
Sure.
And you know that whole the boom. There was a ton of comics on TV, and so I'd always watch stand up. I loved it. Yeah. And then the other thing was that I come from a funeral home family.
That's right. Oh, is that okay? I was going to ask you about that. Is that real?
That's 100% real.
That's everybody in your family is undertakers.
I am the first.
You.
I'm the first male member. I guess there was like one. I think one of my aunts didn't do funeral home ever. But everybody else in my family had been an undertaker until me. I was the first one not to do it.
But so did you guys all live in like the local whatever dead person house or whatever they call it?
Yeah, we lived. There was apartments.
What was it called? Mortuary,
yes, or the nice. It was just the funeral home at large, and we had there was an apartment above the funeral home, and then there was a house next to the funeral home as well, and then my grandparents lived, my uncle lived above, my uncle lived in one, and then my grandparents lived outside one, and we lived down the street.
So are you just immune to ghosts at this point?
They don't even. Oh, there's no such thing as ghosts.
I know, but it's for fucking joke's sake.
Come on.
No. I say that because I spent so much time around dead people. That's what I always figured, is I would have seen a ghost by now.
Oh, yeah.
You don't just go down to get orange juice and there's dead people in your basement, and you're like, nope, no ghosts.
Is that what you went through, for real?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I'd be at my grandparents, and my grandpa would be like, hey, go get your grandma. Tell her I want to do something, and I'd pop over. No, okay. She's still alive.
That'd be uncomfortable.
That would be uncomfortable. She's a very surviving grandparent.
Well, unless she was still a ghost. I mean, then you could live with her for a while.
Sure, yeah.
But no, there was just, forever. I don't know, there was just dead folks around a lot. It just didn't, I don't know, it becomes not a big deal. But funeral home people are very funny, generally, because, you know, it's a really dark profession, and you gotta have a sense of humor.
Sure.
And so my grandpa and my uncles are hilarious.
Okay, so this
really
is kind
dark
of
humor.
Fight off the... A fucking madness with humor, because that's a really, you realize why that's weird, right?
Why? What's weird?
That you're the only person in your family who doesn't bury bodies for a living.
Yeah,
that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, there's more now that there's my cousins. I don't think any of my cousins are going to go into it, but I'm the oldest, so I broke the mold. Now everyone's free from the oppression of the corpses.
It's got to be a decent source of material, though.
Mm. Yeah, I have a lengthy bit about it that I usually do.
Give away your material, but it's very funny.
Oh, well, thank you. But it's I mean, my uncles have some. I remember. Well, I probably shouldn't tell stories about uncles. You know, they're still working there, so they probably want to keep.
They fuck them, don't they? Fuck the bunch.
No, although that's what I used to tell people whenever they would ask me too many questions. Because I found that was a conversation stopper.
We keep the butts. They're in the basement.
We cut off the butts and store them. And
cut off the butts.
Attach them to a wall with the
glory
hole.
Stuff them with newspaper.
But no, it's a funny thing because the funeral home people, it has to be quiet humor because nobody wants their funeral home guy like cracking them up. You know, so it's very like under. So like,
well, that, and I'm sure if you have like a specific story about a certain dead person, that family isn't going to want to be like, oh. He's talking about my cousin Carly.
You got to be sensitive about that.
So I buried this fat asshole last week. Boy, are my arms tired.
I just remember one of my uncle's lines one time. It was so funny. He was getting a body ready, and he was like, man, he was a nice guy. He donated everything. He donated everything to science, pretty much. He says, I'm just burying a tie.
What the fuck? What an odd intro.
Well, I'm going to break this up a little bit here. Let's play a song.
Yeah, let's derail this.
All right.
Well, we'll come back. We'll continue.
It's good that when we start talking about fucking dead butts that we stop ourselves, because that could go on for quite a while.
Sure. This is a song by Torch the Spires.
We were the simple circuitry! Small brain, shot through battle, surgery, shaking hands and with a beast, to the feet, that's your body, just shut your eyes, can't help your silliness here, just turn your back, come for fingers, cut through the.
right, Brent?
Look, there's only one thing worse than scoring a goal in foosball and not saying blammo. Do you know what it is?
Dying?
No.
Getting AIDS?
No.
Getting married?
No.
Sorry, Brian.
It's saying blammo and not scoring a goal. That's the worst feeling ever.
Ah.
Sure.
Premature blammo.
Yeah.
So that was Torch the Spires. And they're playing November 17th at the Triple Rock.
Yeah!
Fierro and...
Yeah!
Who, Brent?
Yeah, we're playing the show!
Ratcatcher is playing.
Yep.
Brent's band.
Yeah, come out to a show for once, people.
Yeah, November 17th at Triple Rock.
It seems like there's a huge lack of support for grassroots fucking projects, music, podcasts around these parts.
Are you
these
just
days?
Saying that because comedy? You just saw Phil Anselmo say that on the metal show?
No, I'm saying it because I said it to you today in a text message when we were talking about this program.
You guys were just texting each other in the middle of the day?
There's too much content now. It sucks. Like,
we're
so
good
the
friends.
The good shit gets separated out and then people go, hey, I've seen everything. I'm not going to go do fucking anything. So just get off your fucking asses and have some fun. You're going to die soon anyway.
Sure. Yeah. You're going to die, and you're going to be wishing that you went to that show.
Now, I don't know if you're going to be wishing you went to it. Maybe you're wishing that you'll die if you go to it, but it's better to go to it and whatever. You know what I'm saying. Just go have some fun, you fucking weirdos.
And while we're plugging things, you can listen to us on Stitcher, which is an application for your mobile device. It's free. You can download it free. You can stream our show on it for free. If you listen to our show, you get 100% off for life.
For free.
For free. And... yeah, Stitcher. There's a link on our page. Go to Twin Cities.
Like any of these fucking assholes with iPhones.
Go to TwinCitiesTank.com, and it's the first post on the page right now. Anyways, when we left off, we were talking to Brian about...
fucking dead butts.
Fucking dead butts. No, that was off mic.
Sorry.
However, we hadn't got to you actually getting into comedy and the City Pages. When did you get... You said that the first time that you did comedy was here... besides those two before.
Sure. Well, I did a couple more times after college. I moved to Carbondale, Illinois, if you're familiar, home of SIU, Southern Illinois University.
You know they have metropolises, right? You can live in cool places if
you want. Actually, I lived, the two funeral homes that my family owns are in actual Metropolis, Illinois.
Fuck you.
100% true. Hometown of Superman.
We just
Superman
connected.
Statue.
We collect. Yeah. Do you hear that?
Me and you.
I love uncomfortable silences on radios.
Then I got a job editing a newspaper after out of college, and so I moved back to Carbondale, and I was editing a newspaper, and then I did comedy a couple of times at a really shitty bar. Run
you
by
had the balls to go back on after the homeless guy thing?
Yeah, I mean, the Chicago thing was more... I mean, I was in college, and I was pretty squirrely, but it was just like...
That's how most gay experience stories...
Start.
So I was in college. I was.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I didn't have a car, and it was like hard to get to these gigs, and I was intimidated. But I don't know. So then I was back, and I really wanted to try the comedy thing. So I opened for my buddy's band a couple of times, and I did a couple of guest
spots.
Those
always go well.
You know, they did actually pretty
well.
Yeah.
That's I've always
maybe
found it hard
it was
to
kind of a jazzy band type thing. So it was
okay.
You know,
not a bunch of drunk metalheads.
No, it was like a jazzy band, or like he was in a jam band too, and so like they had pretty stonery. Like,
show
clientele.
Me your tits.
Yeah, the first time I opened for the band, the New Ledge band, I remember distinctly there was this place called Big Boys Q'n', and they sold barbecue and beer, and it was all run by ex-convicts. I think it's still open. It was like a halfway house that served barbecue basically, and. I was doing my set. I was so nervous, and I was doing my set, it's maybe the third or fourth time I'd ever done comedy, and this homeless guy, theme,
wow.
If you'll keep
you
track.
You have a core audience. You have a built-in audience.
Well, he wasn't homeless. He was homeless-esque, but he was not homeless, clearly, because he had come from his home.
Was he wearing a bunch of pants?
He was wearing two coats, which was my immediate... You see a man wearing two coats, and you take notice, you know? And he walked in, and he looked around, and he went right to the front of the stage, and he was, like, enraptured. He was really into it, and he was smiling, and I was like, sweet, okay, this is good, you know? And then I noticed that
my
blood
core audience.
Was just leaking out of his hand at like, an alarming rate. Like, there was a little, like, arterial squirt going on out of his hand, and... And he's bleeding out of his hand, and then as soon as I got off stage, he just walks up to me, and he just kind of towers over me, and he says, "That was great, man!" And he just grabs my hand, and he's shaking my hand, and he's just bleeding all over me.
Gross.
And I was like, "Sir, I think you got some some problems. And he goes, oh, my wife stabbed me. It's no big deal.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. This is my third or fourth show.
I was waiting for stigmata, but I guess wife stabbing is probably...
It's no big deal.
It's no big deal. I'm Jesus.
Yeah.
So once the homeless guy got all of his hepatitis E AIDS all over you?
Yeah, yeah.
Was there another break in the comedy, or did you just plow through it then?
You know what? I was like, I think I'm... Because he liked it. That was the thing. I was like, homicidal homeless guy, not so much, but this guy, I'm getting better. You know, I could feel progress happening.
So I like how you're judging your own comedy based on a guy that saw you on the subway after you were done.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm pretty hard on myself, like, I gotta tell you.
That showed it was terrible. This homeless guy tried to mug me on the subway.
He didn't even see me and he hated
my trash man was mean to me the next morning. It must have been a bad show.
Yeah.
Odd. Okay, so now...
So then I really liked comedy, and I didn't like editing newspapers, and so...
Who does?
It was boring.
Yeah.
And so then I quit, and my wife and I moved up here so I could do stand-up.
Specifically to move to...
Oh, pretty much, yeah.
Did you... I mean, it was a pretty fertile ground up here for comedy.
It's a fantastic place for stand-up.
So I mean, how did you get your foot in the door? I mean, you kind of seem to be at the... Kind of the head of the... As far as... Head of the pack as far as most people around here.
I just... I hope so. For my age group or my comedy class or whatever. I mean, yeah, you know, it's a numbers game. It's a time thing. You know,
Brian hosts the Friday night open mics at the Comedy Corner.
Yeah, and there's a group of us that run it.
And you seem to be for somebody that's not, you know, got a lifetime under their belt. You seem very much more comfortable than most people.
Oh, thank you.
And I, like I said, I kind of drive a hard bargain. I'm a little bit of a purist myself.
All right. Well,
no, but
I passed the litmus test.
The open mic the other night. I thought I was really impressed with the whole thing was. Like,
it's a fun open mic. It really is.
That's a really great room.
I think it's the best. It's the best open mic in town. That's not. I mean, Acme has got a fantastic open mic.
Sure.
Obviously, it's a huge club. One, you know, and House of Comedy's open mic can be really hot. You know, but I mean, that's a full time club with these facilities, and this is just a thing that we run.
Right.
And of all the like, just comedian run rooms. I mean, we have a crowd.
That one is. I mean, it's intimate and fantastic, and anybody can get up there and do it, and it's awesome. By
corner
the way,
bar,
that's
10 o'clock.
Yes,
yeah, so Comedy Corner Underground.
Exactly.
Seven corners.
The corner bar next to Seven Corners in the basement. You got to go in the back of the bar there and go in the basement.
You do have to walk through the fucking college kids, which is no fucking treat.
Yeah.
They're awful. People that go to colleges are awful. I'm just kidding.
God. Hey, come on. I don't have a ponytail. I'm sorry.
Then you're going to have a step behind. Whatever.
A step behind? What was that?
Did you vote, by the way? I'm sorry
no,
to change topics. Did you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I would never not vote.
I fucking hate voting.
This is the first
voting
time
is the easiest thing that you can do.
That's the thing.
I don't know that it does any good. I really don't. Here's the thing. It took me 7 minutes.
That's a good argument, and I suppose if I would have had more time yesterday, I had a pretty packed schedule, I might have taken the time to vote, but I just didn't give a shit.
I vote straight party when in doubt.
A finite amount of fucks that I can give about things. And I kind of use those fucks on things like in my life, right? Like things
sure.
like, you know, think globally, act locally thing?
Yeah.
Like if you kind of pin that down more, like the acting locally thing would be like my life.
Like you're really thinking, local.
Like, exactly. like thinking globally would be like outside of this apartment. Right?
Sure.
So like I'll do things like I'll think like globally, like maybe there's things out there, but I'll act locally, like I'll just get drunk or something.
Sure.
Like I really don't give any type of fuck. Like this is a true story. Last year, whatever, last time people voted for shit, they literally had
2008
the voting booths for this whole neighborhood on the first floor. I live on the 15th floor of this building. In the basically the common room in the lobby of my building was where the voting was for this whole neighborhood. You know what? Didn't fucking vote. Registered and everything. Didn't give a fuck. I find it such a horseshit fucking premise. Like I don't know. Like the last time I voted for somebody, the guy that I voted for got more votes than the guy that he was running against, but he lost.
Yeah,
so
that was very disillusioning.
As soon as like there's a weird like it's like as soon as I like adjust the fucking election policy, then maybe I'll be like, hey, this means something. But if you really like you said, if you think it means something, you're fucking wrong.
I don't think. I think it's more true at smaller levels. that's not true. To be all soapboxy, but I think that's how the Republicans have taken control of everything. Course, yeah. Because
cynical.
No, but the way they did it, it's not like at the top level, it's all fucked. But like the way that they won was Republicans got people on like school boards and these really low level things, and collectively that has a lot more influence on people. By doing, and then that primed them to be candidates later, and so like they actually succeeded by caring. At the part that most people don't care about. You know, like the parts that when you get the ballot, you're like, all right, president, senator, governor. And then you're like, man, some other bullshit. Yeah. Like, they focused on that other bullshit. And I think that's what made it work for them.
Again, I'm going to work on fixing my insomnia and my eating problems. And then maybe we'll work on, stop drinking a little bit. And then we'll give a fuck about voting for fucking Prop 2.
It's a five-step process.
It could be a 500-step process. I might be 77 by the time I fucking vote again. But
yeah. There's a bunch of stuff I could say on this, but I just don't feel like it.
Well, the only thing that I want to say voting or like the election year or whatever the fuck it is, like, gives all of the fucking dumbest. I know a lot of dumb people. I'm sure we all know a lot of dumb people. Everybody turns into a fucking political analyst. Everybody has like the most grossly misinformed bullshit. Like, but it gives everybody that opportunity to be like, dude, if you don't fucking vote, man, you don't got a right to complain. Or like, you know, like, it's civic duty, man. Like, people that like couldn't possibly have anything to offer to the conversation in like, you know, in 2009, don't got fuck all to say. Don't even had never even heard of a fucking book or, you know, whatever fucking websites. But then as soon as election year comes around, like, a week before, it's like, dude, God fucking knows running, man. Because like, if you don't fucking vote, man, you know, you're like, you're letting your country and you're letting your family down. You're killing kids. You're like, what the fuck? You don't know anything. I just saw you eat a booger 2 minutes ago. I don't know what you're talking about.
I actually follow politics quite closely, and I still
I know you do. That's why I asked you that initially.
I listen to a lot of political podcasts and stuff, and I was still just like, nothing ever happens and changes, and I just get pissed every time I vote, so I just sort of bury my head in the sand.
You know, there's like,
so I can cry into the sand.
It's Michelle Bachman. Who's the other chick? O'Donnell?
Christine O'Donnell.
Yeah. I want one of those people to win. Like, I want one of those fucking
Michelle Bachman
nutcase.
Did win.
No, but yeah. Like something big, like someone where she can actually fucking do something crazy. Like Sarah, I begrudgingly like want Sarah Palin to win something because I'm like, at least it'd be fucking hilarious.
See, I think she's the wrong kind of crazy. I would vote if there was like a super crazy person, but she's the wrong
like
kind
Wesley
of crazy.
Wesley Willis ran or something.
Oh my God, I would vote for Wesley Willis.
But no, because everyone's always like, you know, like you can't lean too far to one side of the thing because you're alienating too many people. But like, if some shit went crazy and like the Beagle Boys like stole a bunch of ballots or something and like they fucked up everything.
The Beagle Boys, was that a DuckTales reference?
I just made a DuckTales joke. Sorry, but like if something like if they forgot to carry a one or like shit went crazy and like. Like Christine O'Donnell, like was like became like president of Earth. You'd be like, at least this is gonna be fucking funny.
Sure.
Like, no more swearing. You're like, what? I don't. How the fuck are you gonna enforce that? Oh, I just went to jail.
Oh, barf.
Anyway,
okay.
Don't vote.
Well, let's go to don't vote unless Brian wants you to.
Unless well, Brian has cool things to say, so he can vote. But unless you're just some fucking.
I respect people's right to want to vote if you really feel that strongly for it. But I really feel strongly. And not voting.
I do too. This could go on for hours, but then this is going to be the most boring fucking.
But yeah, let's go
ever.
To a song instead. The Pantera box set just came out.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to play.
R.I.P. Dimebag.
It's not the box set, it's the Cowboys from Hell 20th anniversary
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, but it's like in a big box.
So in that sense, I guess technically it is a box set.
Sure.
It's a set that's boxed, but it's not an actual box.
Okay. Thank you.
Just wanted to be
this is
specific.
The demo version, which is included in there, of. The Art of Shredding.
Yeah, listen to the guitar tone. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
idea. Now what are we supposed to be? Afraid to be. Power has to change the world without lies and hands of madmen. Now a time for society needs us. It's where the sin began. We know where they're gonna pay us. Wait for my heart within. But all this world, which is a living hell, but will be closer than ever. So now, this is the art. This is it's only emotion. Yeah. This is the art. This is it's only a lie.
Cities Tank will be back in 37 seconds.
For show notes and past episodes, go to TwinCitiesTank.com or our network's website at
NCPenceGangsters.com.
If you're a local band or you're coming to the Twin Cities, send a professionally recorded MP3 to TwinCitiesTank@gmail.com and we'll play it on the show. Help us out by telling your friends about our show, going to iTunes, rating, subscribing, leaving comments. TwinCitiesTank@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you very much for listening.
There it was. That's Pantera. You guys want to do a little taking care of bullshit?
That's fucking
bullshit! Yes! Yes. Let's take care of some bullshit. I came up with this one this week, which is Little Johnny Jokes. Are you familiar with these?
No, I'm ill-equipped to bullshit about this bullshit.
You've probably heard these jokes
like
before.
Shit out of, like, highlights magazines?
Well, no, because they're kind of dirty jokes. Oh. You've probably heard versions of these just told as, like, some other kid.
Sure.
But they're sort of all grouped into Little Johnny jokes, and it's usually Little Johnny's in the classroom. The teacher goes, "Hey, Little Johnny, why don't you use the word urinate in a sentence?" And Little Johnny thinks about it, and he goes, "Hey, teacher, you're an 8, but if you had bigger tits, you'd be a 10.
Boom!
Flappity.
Dude, you're just going to do my material and not credit me? Yeah. What the fuck?
That's Brian Miller. I meant to say
that's,
Brian Miller
that's
jokes.
That's off his
not
new
Little
album
Johnny
called
jokes.
Little Johnny Jokes.
Anyways, there's a whole like slew of these stupid, shitty jokes, and you can look them up on
Is
the
this
internet.
Like Sven and Ole jokes?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Probably some of them are Sven and Ole jokes that were turned into... I mean, it's like Sven and Ole jokes. You could turn those into like... whatever racist joke you want to have about anything. But
I was going to go Jewish on it.
Yeah. So this guy that I work with was pulling these fucking things up on the internet today, and he just thinks they're the fucking gold's gold. He's just laughing his ass off, literally like slapping his hands on the fucking desk, laughing his ass off at these. And by the time he stayed late. I left work at 4:30, and he stayed late so that he could write them down on post-it notes so he could remember them to tell at parties.
You couldn't copy-paste them into an email?
That's what I told him to do. He's like, nah.
We're living in the digital age. I got a joke for you. Little Johnny fucking has a copy-paste button on his Microsoft Word.
That's right.
Little Johnny doesn't want to go home to see his wife because she's mad at him all the time, so he stays after work and jacks off and everyone leaves.
Of course, though, the guy who likes the joke is going to be the guy who's like sweatily like writing them all down on post-it notes.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. He has no idea how the internet
works. But see,
works.
Like, things like that, like, that's not even a joke. Like, that's, like, technically that's just, like, creative writing.
They're like, just, like, crappy little one-liners.
Right, but, like, did you ever listen to Robert Schimmel when he was alive?
I know a lot about him, but I'm not familiar with his
Robert Schimmel's hilarious, but, same thing with, like, Nick DiPaolo. Like, a lot of the things is, a lot of the premises and the setups for the jokes are all, like, So I was talking to this guy, and he says this, then I said that. And you're like, well, that never happened.
Right.
It's more or less just, you're like, it's a conversational, like, it's a setup, like a setup. And
you
then
could turn it into
like,
a street joke if
exactly.
you wanted to. Exactly. Yeah.
But, like, when you have things like that, and you're like, oh, you want to hear a joke? Like, you know, there was I remember hearing a bunch of those when I was a kid, and I was like, how did that even become a joke? Like, somebody must have said that accidentally and then, like, had no way to tell it to their friends. So they turned it either, like, they couldn't tell it to, like this had, like, you have to make it so it's first person, so it's relatable. Like, this guy was like, hey, what? How do you spell urinate? And I was like, your wife's an ape. And he was like, oh, my. You can't just tell that story because right. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't want to say who it was because I work for this guy and I want to keep working for him. But there's a booker who books shows that I work sometimes.
I'm going to find out who this is.
I enjoy these shows, and he does. He opens the shows, as oftentimes bookers will do. You know,
Jeff Dunham.
That would be a prestigious gig to get booked.
Nice.
and for him to open.
But he's this, like, he's this kind of low-rent motherfucker, you know? Like,
got it.
But he tells these street jokes, but he does them all as though they happen
this
to him.
This happened to me, right?
Yeah, and so we're in this particular venue in upstate Minnesota, you know, and there's 9 people staring at us, and he's like, So I had a chance to have dinner with the Queen of England the other day. I'm like, the joke is, I'm dancing with the Queen, and I said, hey, Queen, does your pussy stink? And she says, no, and I said, it must be your feet. the funny part to me was that this dude is just casually, like, the premise, he just sold it. Like, it was like, so I was with the Queen of England the other day.
Right.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
but is he being facetious with
no.
this?
No.
No.
No. Remember that?
Absolutely.
I like him. He's a nice guy.
Remember that scene in Good Will Hunting when he tells, like, the blowjob coffee joke, remember?
No.
The waitress.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, you know,
the stewardess, yeah.
The pilot says all I need right now is a blowjob and a cup of coffee, and the stewardess runs up to tell him that his microphone's on and the guy's on the... And then he goes, and I said... Our guy in the plane says, you know, don't forget the coffee. And he's like, you ever been on a plane? And he's like, no, it's a fucking joke, asshole. But he's like, it sounds funnier if I tell it in the first person. That's what those little Johnny fucking things
right,
are.
Right.
It's something funny somebody thought of, but, like, you can't just be like, I had this thought the other day where, like, urinate could be parlayed into this joke about a girl being hotter if she had bigger boobs.
Sounds like you are an ape.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my favorite jokes. Was when you were a kid, those jokes that would basically be these incredible narrative contortions just so you could make like a really bad
exactly.
sex pun, you know? It's like,
yes.
Doobie don't want to, maybe tomorrow. And it's all just to get around to like, oh, Doobie went inside this time or something, you know? Yeah. And you're like, wow, that was a 7-minute joke to get to that.
There was this one that went right when you said the little Johnny thing, like I was like this, there was this joke that people would tell in my school was about, and it's like, there's this kid, his name is, I don't remember what the setup was, sure. But this kid's name is Little Deeper.
Oh, you deeper. Yeah, exactly. That was exactly the joke I was thinking about.
Huh?
There.
That was exactly the joke I was thinking about. When you said Little Johnny, I was thinking of the deeper joke and the Doobie Don't Want To Maybe Tomorrow. And I don't remember the premise at all. I just remember the punchline ultimately
is
Doobie Don't Want To Maybe Tomorrow and deeper. Of course, as soon as you hear the kid's name deeper, you're like, oh, I bet
Yeah, of course there's a kid named Deeper.
But it's, of course, it's a 7 minute, you know, it takes a long time to get to.
Well, remember, you know, you're a kid and you'd like go to sleepovers and like, because you could just be like, this kid's name is Little Deeper and his mom's like, hey, where's Little Deeper? And then he's fucking this chick and then she goes, Little Deeper, and he says, shut up, mom, I'm as deep as I can, right? Yeah. Like, you could, but like, it's one of those things where like, you want all your friends to huddle around you and you're like, and then he's,
right.
He's touching her pussy lips. Mm. You know, you're like 7 years old and you're like trying to be fucking, you know, somewhat subversive and you're like, oh, God, this is a great show.
There are people who still do that on stage, actually. I've seen people who do some jokes, not unlike that, on stage.
Sometimes, like, when you pay attention to comedy enough, and, like, again, I think everybody in this room is, you know, capable of speaking about the difference between good and bad comedy. And it's the same thing, like, I've been playing guitar since I'm fucking 0 years old. Same with Pete. Like, it gets to a point like when you're around it so much, like bad comedy almost becomes more enjoyable than like good comedy.
Oh yeah,
I mean, or somebody bombing is so much. Like there was a guy that went on the internet. I don't remember his name. I'm not gonna even say anything. But I was all I could do. And I was like I was gonna jump through the ceiling to the floor above me so I could leave. Like, I was like, I couldn't take it. But it was like, that was so much. Like, everybody was, I would say 9 out of 10 people there were fucking amazing. Like, you know, really good quality.
Yeah.
You know, could actually put together 20 minutes.
It's a lot of traveling guys who just happen to be off that night, and they come down to do a set.
And they're all working their ass off. They probably got families themselves, getting paid nothing, you know. But the thing that you always look for at that is the fucking maniac who goes up there with no concept of, you know, what's funny and what's going to translate into a
good joke. Couple of those make a show better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
At Acme, at the open mic on Friday, or Mondays, which is a fantastic open mic, the comics usually sit in the back left corner of the room, like when you first walk in by the desk. Mm-hmm. And what's fun is if you go into the very beginning when the new people are going up, inevitably there's going to, you know, first timers get up. Yep. It's not going to be that good. Some people are just going to be really bad every now and then. And you can always hear the back left of the room just dying, and like, they're not even really laughing at the person. It's not a mean-spirited thing, just, but it's just like that become like a really bad. You start to. I would much rather see somebody flame out and just be the worst thing ever than just to see a mediocre like, you know, rip off Patton Oswalt a little bit, do some Mitch Hedberg motion.
Well, and it's the same thing with, you know, with musicians. Like, I so much more prefer. What the fuck? How was that worded like that? I prefer to see, like, not awful, not like completely fucking train wreck, but like kind of really bad guitar players versus like a really, like, somebody can blow my mind and I can, like, I know what you're doing, you're just doing it really, really well.
Yeah.
But a lot of times when people just go up there and fucking have literally like no, like, train of thought towards what the fuck they're getting at, you're just like, where is this headed? Wow, I am in.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Was a bit, we played a show couple months ago, and the band that played before us was just a singer that played guitar and a drummer, and I was like, already this is awful but awesome. And the guy plugged in and like it was like click 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 go, and like guitar's out of tune, the tone is horrible, but it was just him and they had a fucking like 45 minutes to kill, and I was like, I am gonna sit here for 45 minutes and watch you figure out what the fuck that thing in your hands is. It's just like so much more entertaining than seeing somebody just shred, and you're like, you know what, that's like somebody can play for 20 years and you're not gonna get the reaction out of me that you could get if you fucking been playing for 20 minutes. Like, it's so much more fun to watch.
So you guys, you want to hear some Little Johnny jokes?
Damn,
let me give you, fire up a little Johnny
joke. Let me give you a little taste here so we can illustrate what we're talking about.
You say the setup, and we'll see if we can guess the punchline.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's kind of just like a little story thing.
That's a narrative.
Sure. Yeah.
Haiku, if you will.
Sure. This is Johnny needs a bike. A few months after his parents were divorced, little Johnny passed by his mom's bedroom, and saw her rubbing her body and moaning, "I need a man. I need a man." Over the next couple of months, he saw her doing this several times. One day, he came home from school and heard her moaning. When he peeked into her bedroom, he saw a man on top of her. Little Johnny ran into his room, took off his clothes, threw himself on the bed, started stroking himself and moaning, "Oh, I need a bike! I need a bike!"
I kind of like that, actually.
Some of them are kind of funny.
I'm ashamed to say that was kind of funny.
It
caught me by surprise.
I don't know. It's funny.
The
Shyamalan
ending
kid
got me.
Jacking off ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What? Did I say that? Sorry about that.
Here's what's in the bag.
God,
Little Johnny.
It's a bike, isn't it?
Little Johnny. Little Johnny goes to school one day, and the teacher has a brown paper bag. She reaches her hand in it and says, says it's round, it's got a stem, and it's got a leaf. Little Johnny raises his hand and says, it's an apple, it's an apple. Then he says, now let me give you one. He reaches his hand in his pocket and says, it's round, it's hard, and it's got a head. Mm. The teacher says, oh, Johnny, that's gross. For some reason, spelled G-R-O-S-E.
Yeah.
Little Johnny says, no, it's a quarter, but I like the way you're thinking.
Good God.
Johnny got a little sophisticated on that. Yeah, Johnny got a little Dean Martin. Like, hey, yeah, I like the way you're thinking. That wasn't a Dean Martin impression at all.
Then he ashed his cigarette, clanked his martini glass with some chick in the front row and walked up.
Exactly.
Right.
Got some more amyl nitrates.
All right. Do you want one more?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
Here, here, whole show.
I was going to say one more.
We'll stop on this one. All right.
I don't think you're doing a very good job of this being bullshit.
I know. I was going to say. Awesome. I'm feeling bad about all the new jokes I wrote because they're not as good as these.
Yeah, I suppose.
The last one kind of sucked.
You know what, though?
That does kind of suck.
Little Johnny, little Jerry, switch it up, steal it.
Sure.
Little Brian.
Pepper it up, put some sugar on it, sweeten it up.
Boom.
Bam. That's my act for next Friday.
Blammo. One day the teacher walked in. This is called Stick It Out, Johnny. One day the teacher walked into the back of the room where Johnny was, and he had his hand down his pants. Teacher asked, Johnny, what are you doing? Then Johnny said, it hurts down there. Well, then you need to go to the nurse and see if you can go home, said the teacher. A little while later, Johnny came back to the classroom and sat back down. Then the teacher came back to the back of the room again, and he had his dick hanging out of his pants. The teacher said, Johnny, what is that doing hanging out of your pants? Then Johnny said, Mommy said, if I can stick it out till noon, she'll come and pick me up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow. See, now that again, right there. Yeah, if I was in a newspaper and I was editing the joke section, cut that bitch down to about three sentences.
Absolutely. So, a lot of fat in that joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fat.
A lot of fat little payoff.
You know,
my
favorite, I don't know if you guys remember this, there's like a million versions of this. It was always the joke, it was like, so this kid is in the shower with his mom, and he's like, Mom, what's that? And he's like, oh, well, that's like my garage door.
Right,
you know? And
yeah.
So like, and then he's in the shower with his dad, and he's like, oh, that's my Corvette. And it always turns into some, again, this elaborate narrative to get like, well, if you don't, you better put your Corvette in the garage door because the headlights are off and the other driver's coming in or something, you know? And
those are my headlights.
Even as a kid, I was like, who are all these people just flashing their junk to their like seventh grade kids?
And then using these weird euphemisms to describe them.
Yeah.
If I asked my mom what tits were and she was like, they're my headlights, I'd be like, wow, you're a stripper.
Like, if those are your headlights, where are your tits? Those are ridiculous. Mom, I'm in seventh grade. We should not be showering together.
So, true to form with our taking care of bullshit, how do we take care of this?
Well, I think the only really way to take care of it was not tell those jokes, but we just fucking knocked that out of the park.
Well, here was my idea. You remember how the KKK got kind of defouled by the Superman radio show?
I have no clue what the
Okay, well, here's a little history on that.
Talking about.
Superman was
Did
a radio
Superman fight
show.
The KKK?
Superman was a radio show for a while. And
like news talk?
When the KKK was kind of gaining power... He would talk shit about him every single week, and that sort of helped.
Can you slow down?
Yes.
Didn't they start in like the late 1700s?
Probably.
They were like killing
motherfuckers.
But
this is part of what like
the KKK or Superman.
I thought we were talking about Little Johnny still.
Sure.
I thought the KKK started in Nathaniel Bedford Forrest after the Civil War. He was a Civil War general.
Okay, if
I should say more
if you're gonna start breaking out like real history on me, I'm
from Kentucky. I know about the KKK, sir. I'm aware. Unfortunately,
I go into most of these rants completely misinformed.
Like these
generally
1700s.
Uninformed.
They hadn't even invented black people yet. They didn't have the KKK.
What the hell's a KKK gonna do with a bunch of fucking non-blacks?
Plus, I think it was more towards the Civil War era.
It was. Nathaniel Bedford Forrest started after he was a Civil War general.
It would be kind of pointless to have a KKK in the 1700s when you can already just do whatever you want to.
Everyone was the KKK in the 700s. It wouldn't even. You didn't need a group. You were just like, hey, let's fuck up some minorities. Yeah, we already did that.
The problem was, though.
My slaves have too much power.
The problem was, is without the Industrial Revolution, they couldn't have the mass production of sheets, therefore no KKK, therefore black people are off the hook again. Again,
it wasn't until
people.
The invention of the cotton gin that the KKK could finally take form.
And then the printing press, they got their hate literature
out there.
True.
And then the internet and them and the pedophiles banded together and started spreading the message.
But Superman radio shows where it really went downhill.
So,
Superman.
Sort of,
real thing? What?
Yes, it actually happened. Yes. During sort of, I'll say like more of the downfall of the KKK, people really started to hate them when every week
D-Day.
On on the Superman radio show, it would be something about him fighting the KKK and him beating up the KKK or the, some fucked up shit that the KKK was doing. So we should do this with Little Johnny jokes. So a modern day, a modern day.
I like that this is what we decided to target with this strategy.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
It's so a scourge that must be eradicated.
If we're going to get rid of these jokes no one's ever heard of, we're going to have to take the same route Superman did when he was fighting racism.
Yeah, so not that the metaphor has gotten hyperbolic.
Not at all.
I think this but is, we're if, Superman if and Little Johnny jokes hate black people.
Sure.
If anything, we've got,
so,
you know.
Who is the modern day Superman?
Obviously, it's LeBron James.
Okay, LeBron James.
Who is that?
Get him doing some one of those More You Know commercials on NBC.
Yeah.
LeBron would be like the less you know.
Right, but when he's doing it,
about
when he's
drugs.
Doing it, he's telling these Little Johnny jokes or whatever on these The More You Know commercials, and then people will just begin to hate them because they know he's stupid and they know that there's not more you know, it's the less you know,
well, there's,
and then the Little Johnny jokes will go
on
away.
That same token, you know that big push that Hollywood's doing, that It Gets Better campaign?
Yeah.
Where they're trying to tell gay teenagers not to fucking kill themselves because, you know, life gets better.
Yeah.
Could do the same thing, like you'd have like a commercial where some kids are sitting around and they're like, and like, you know, there's like a kid, and he's like, you know, they'd have to like, he's got a shirt that's a Little Johnny on it, you know, or like a lunchbox that says Johnny on it, or whatever,
you.
Something to signify him as Johnny, and then these kids are like in the corner being like, so the teacher says, Little Johnny, put it away, right? And then like, and then everyone's like, fucking asshole, Little Johnny. I don't know if they would say this on the commercial. I haven't
paraphrase.
Self-edited
this
yet.
You can
and
bleep.
Then like, you know, Christina Aguilera comes over and goes, guys. Little Johnny has feelings too, faggots, and then he runs away.
Or he goes.
So they would have to forego the gay thing to get rid of the Johnny thing.
Or in the same kind of a vein, these two little pubescent kids, and you have like some hot celebrity, whoever it be.
I thought I nailed that with the Christina Aguilera.
Yeah, sure. Christina Aguilera.
Sure.
And she comes up and goes, "That's not funny."
Yeah, not funny. No. Like, well, that's stupid.
And then pubescent boys will start to go, "Oh yeah."
I think we've already got the solution.
A hot girl. Then
it cuts
I'm going
to
tell
them all
funny jokes.
Laying in a bed together, jacking off, wishing for a bike.
No, I think Johnny you just dish Little Johnny. Like, so did you guys hear about Little Johnny? He joined the KKK. I don't think we should be talking about that son of a bitch.
Yeah, he's
and then Superman flies in and goes, "Fuck you, Little Johnny."
I would love to hear some of what Superman said about the KKK.
Yeah, I haven't actually heard any of these. I only heard this secondhand.
Technically, the KKK would hate Superman. He's from Krypton. He's from a whole other planet.
Right.
Word.
They're xenophobic in their ways. Whenever you see those pictures or like hear stories about how families used to sit around like the fireplace and sit by the radio, don't you just kind of I'm always like, my first reaction is like, bunch of fucking boring assholes.
Do you know what my dad said that he used to do on hot days before air conditioning?
Jack off and wish for a bike?
No.
Is this the start of a Little Johnny joke with your dad?
No. My dad said when it got really hot to the point where you just couldn't do anything and it was like over 100 degrees and humid as shit, you just go into your house and maybe in the basement, open all the windows and just lay on the floor and just sprawl out. And that's what you'd do. That's what people did.
Unimaginative shithead your dad is.
That's
just kidding. I love your dad. He's awesome. He's awesome. I love your dad. I love your dad. I was kidding.
My dad's cool. All right. Do you want to get out of here?
I live here. I can't get out of here.
Oh, I meant radio. Get out of here.
Let's give Brian a chance to plug some of his shit first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'll wind it down.
Yeah, I've got some shows coming up. The big one, definitely the big one, is I am going to be doing my first show at Acme.
Nice.
I'm going to be doing shows on the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd of December, right before Christmas. Big excitement. It's going to be a little like a showcase thing. It's going to be kind of a different style show. It's going to be me and a couple of newer guys, and we're doing a show.
Is this you headlining? Or?
No. I'm going to be doing kind of a... It's going to be like a three 12-minute sets of new people. It's going to be like...
Oh, okay.
So
there's no real MC?
They're
going
to do like a Vegas-style thing where the host is going to be the headliner, and the headliner is going to come out and he's going to run the whole thing. Tim Slagle. And then I'll be back at Acme. I'll be back at Acme for emceeing just for a regular week of shows from the 4th to the 8th with Mike Winfield, who is incredible. One of the funniest new guys I've seen in a while.
Nice.
And also, if anybody is in Winona, Minnesota... For
sure
any reason. But I will be in Winona, Minnesota on, I believe that will be December the 5th. Look at opening for Shane Moss.
The shit out of
just
that one.
Go.
5th or the 12th, but either way, yeah. Shane opening for Shane Moss, and we're known at Big Boobs. The bar is called Big Boobs.
No, it's not.
So just go either one of those days to Big Boobs, and you'll see Brian Miller.
Or both.
Or both.
Especially if your name is Shlou and you've been on the podcast before, and you live in Winona.
Wow. He doesn't live in Winona. What are you talking about?
That he did.
He lives in, like, fucking Savage or something.
I don't like you.
Winona was like 3 hours away. Yeah. I never thought you did.
Look, we're not friends.
It's, yeah, go see Brian whenever you can. Brian's a funny motherfucker. Don't let his glasses fool you. He's deceptively evil.
I get that from a lot of people.
He seems like he's the kind of guy that you would like get tricked into leaving your kids alone with, and then you'd come home and they would just be like bones, and he'd have hair in his mouth. He'll eat your kids.
I will. But
but with comedy. Do you understand why that's not?
But you know
weird?
What? From the top down, because that's more humane.
Exactly.
And go to the comedy corner on Friday.
Yeah, sure.
Comedy
corner.
Mics,
absolutely.
See him MC the thing. You've gone up and done many sets there.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm doing actually a really good show there on also while I'm plugging shit. December the 4th at the Comedy Corner, I'm doing a show called Back to the Feature. It's me and Corey Adam and Nate Abshire. We're all features, so it's going to be three feature sets in a row, basically.
I see
it's going to be a little.
There.
Yeah, a little. There's a clever poster on the way, sir.
I'll just throw that at you.
There's a clever poster on the way.
Okay, I think I see where it's going.
So, yeah, Back to the Feature, December 4th, 8 o'clock at Corner Bar. That's going to be like $5. It's going to be crazy cheap. It's going
to
be really funny.
To reiterate an earlier sentiment, get off your fucking asses and do something. Don't say stay home and get stoned all day.
Sure.
Go see comedy. Go see bands. Go see
fucking November 17th at Triple Rock. Listen to us on Stitcher. Go see Metallica on New Year's Eve with Twin Cities Tank hosting. Brent, do you have anything to add?
You're dead to me, Mexico.
I got a bitch that suck my dick till I nut. Spit it on my gut and slurp that shit back up. Ain't that a slut?
Hell yeah.
She even take it in the butt. Fuck for about an hour, now she want a golden shower. You didn't know that we be pissing on hoes, bitch. Luke and Biggie straight shitting on hoes, bitch. Lick your toes, bitch. Fuck no, you must be crazy. Squirting your face and then I'm swaying. Recognize G, straight up, I can't knock ya. After Big Papa, fuck all the Junior Mafia. The whole click, dick suck, ass lick. Need your number by the phone, bring your ass on home. Roman Lexuses and Benzes, the flyway. With the flyest bitch, getting head on the highway. My way, deep throat on loops. But when the moon rises, I'm coming in her eyes. It's
do it.
Just the way players play. Leave it up to me, I get fucked all day. Sucked all day, smoking blunts, counting cheese. Fucking bitches till the assholes bleed. What you say, boy?
All I want is hoes, big booty hoes.
Check it out, here's another one.
All I want is hoes, big booty hoes.
We'll take them to the crib and let them bone in.
All I want is hoes, big booty hoes.
Check it out, here's another one.
All I want is hoes, big booty hoes.
We'll take them to the crib and let them bone in. Back bitches from barbecues to bar mitzvahs. The dick don't fit, use your lips cuz I'm feeling kinda itchy for a quickie. Don't take off your coat, all you got to do is lick me. Me eat you, I beat you, then greet you to the door, bitch. Cause I don't love you no more. Which one of these hoes in the lobby wanna slobby? You know me, I like my dick brown like Bobby. In the Duke shoot, then the bitch get the boot. Unless you lick ass and blow dicks like flutes. I like them cute round tits and fat asses. Educated, so I can bust off on their glasses. I wanna come on your tongue and gums all night. The bitch drink nuts by the pint.
Drink it, bitch. Drink all these hoes do that shit. All I want is hoes, big booty hoes.
Check it out, here's another one.
All I want is hoes, big booty hoes.
We'll take them to the crib and let them bone in.
All I want is hoes, big booty hoes.
Check it out, here's another one.
All I want is hoes, big booty hoes.
We'll take them to the crib and let them bone in.
It's after midnight, it's time to come up. Fucking with some sluts trying to bust a nut. I ain't seen this many hoes in a long time. I wanna make them all mine.
Get down, ho.
But it's getting kinda late and I can't wait. Bitch, fuck a first date. I pulled out my dick, she called me rude. But then she ate it like food.
Tramp.
When she noticed the length and the width. Recognize gang, you been pimped by a pimp. Throw all that trick shit out the window. You come up short trying to doubt the pimp hoes. Short baby, straight from Oakland. Whole money is my fix and I can't be broken. Freak bitches all on my dick. We on some Brooklyn, Oakland, California shit.
All I want is hoes, big booty hoes.
Check it out, here's another one.
All I want is hoes, big booty hoes.
We'll take them to the crib and let them bone in.
All I want is hoes, big booty hoes.
Oh. Check it out, here's another one.
All I want is hoes, big booty hoes.
We'll take them to the crib and let them bone in.
You knew
I was a dog when you met me, bitch.
Bitch.
For sure.
Yeah.
Tell you anything you wanna hear right about now. To the spot. That's where we going, baby. We finna go to the spot. Do our thing like we always do.